Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at Village Baptist Church. If you're a first-time visitor today, we're delighted to have you worshiping with us this morning. In the pew, you'll find a visitor card that you can fill out and let us know that you've been here, and we might learn a little bit more about you. If you're worshiping with us online, we're also happy to have you worshiping with us and to know that you chose to worship with us this morning. Let's see. At this time, we're going to stand and greet each other and give a handshake or a welcome, whatever the Spirit moves you to do, to greet each other. And when the sweet, sweet Spirit of this place moves us all, we'll come back to worship. Several announcements this morning, and so I'm going to start with those. There's a poinsettia order form that you can fill out and order poinsettias for the Christmas season. Please consider ordering a plant or two so that we can fill the sanctuary with color for our holiday season. The last day for doing that is October 31st. Contributions to the Bowie Pantry can be made any time during the month, and so if you have items at home, you can bring them in. The pantry is in desperate need of items, so they've asked us to bring them any time we can. There's a postcard in the back, so you might, it says, "Life is tough, all of us need support sometimes." So you might pick up a postcard or two on your way out today and send them to someone that might need a little bit of encouragement. The Pastor Search Committee Town Hall meeting will be on November 19th after worship. There'll be refreshments. We never meet without eating. And so come and be a part of that town hall so that everybody has a part of letting the Pastor Search Committee know what we would like in a new pastor. And please, please pray for the Pastor Search Committee and the person that will be coming to be our new pastor of our church. The Hunger Banks will go out on November 5th, and they're to be returned on November 19th. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. And good morning. You are in good voice this morning. This is good. Good. We welcome you. I add my welcome to Kathleen's. We hope your presence here is a blessing to you, as your being here is a blessing to us. We're going to have a time of prayer now, and we need to mute those who are with us virtually. But for those of us who are here, I would invite you to share whatever's on your heart this morning. If you have a prayer concern, if you have a blessing you'd like to share. All right, I thank you for your sharing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, in a few moments we'll hear your call to rejoice in you always. And many of us can easily do that, and often do, and yet there are so many people, ones we've mentioned here this morning, so many others who have circumstances in their lives that make rejoicing a real challenge. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would bring peace to the troubled area of Israel and Gaza, and the Ukraine, and all the many other places of conflict around the world. We pray for lasting peace, for hope and security. We pray for your comfort to be with those who are grieving lost loved ones. We pray for healing for the wounded, for the safety and the freedom for those who are being held captive. We pray for peace in that region, even as so many are surrounded by danger and warfare. Lord, bring healing to those we know who are recovering from illness or surgery or facing surgery. Restore them to full strength and voice. Comfort those whose rejoicing is muted as they struggle with sorrow or with loneliness or grief or depression. Lord, renew their spirits so that they can one day sing your praise again. And Lord, make us more sensitive to the pain and the tears and the grief all around us. We pray for our country, for our government leaders, federal and local, for our judicial system, for our police forces and military, for our cities and towns and rural communities. We pray for the people of Bowie, for those who may be unemployed, for those in prison, for those who are hungry, for those who are alone or afraid, for all of our neighbors, both known and unknown to us. We're just thankful for your presence among us this morning, and we present these prayers to you with the faith that you hear the prayers we've spoken, as well as the prayers that are on our hearts. And all these things we offer in the name and spirit of our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. It's time for the children's story. I just need a flat spot. That's all. Have you ever wondered what a t-shirt might tell us about God? Now, admittedly, this is a Village Baptist Church t-shirt, but I don't think it by itself it tells us much about God. But folding it might have a lesson. You know, I'll bet that you've heard your parents or some other adults say something like, "Golly, our country's in a mess. Our world is just out of control. Things are terrible. Things are going awful. Things are a real mess." Yeah, have you heard any of that? No? Don't listen to the news? Golly. Well, I can assure you that some of your parents have said that, and some of the adults you encounter do that. And that's where this shirt comes in. Now, you see, I've got this shirt, nice t-shirt, and I want to fold it, and I want to fold it neatly. But what's going to happen? I'm going to fold it, and in the process of folding it, it's going to look like a mess. But I think it'll turn out okay. At least I hope it will. Okay, so watch. So I hold it here. I'm obviously overdriving the microphone here. So, all right. Let's see if that's better. Okay. I'm going to have to turn this off. Sorry, people.
Hold this. Go like this. Looks like a mess, doesn't it? It sure does. Well, that's what I hope is going to turn out okay, because I'm going to go like this. My God, it's me and Paul. Thank you that you're there for us. We thank you that we can count on you even when things look like they're messy, because it is your work. Help guide us. Help us to do what we can to make the world a better place. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, we're going to have a video. And so just stay here and watch that video, and then you can sing along.
So, as I mentioned earlier, our Renee Deering, who is singing the special music today, fell off her bike and is not feeling well today. But she had picked out a particularly good song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth," and we could really use a little peace today. So I went out on the magical internet, found the song, and we're going to listen through one time. We're going to listen to the singer. And the second time, let's all join in and sing with the video. And it's going to magically start now.
With God as our Father,
Good job, congregation, on the special today. Today's scripture is from Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. May God grant us understanding of this, his holy word.
Let us pray together. O God, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for love of you. Amen. Paul writes this letter to the Philippian church from a prison cell. I wrote this message in a hospital room. What, there's a difference? As I did lay in bed watching the horrific news coming out of the Middle East and listening to that infernal IV machine beeping, gave me a lot of time to think about this text. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Oh, that Paul, what a gift for hyperbole. Rejoice in the Lord always. Elsewhere, he says, pray without ceasing. Elsewhere, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. He had a real gift for hyperbole. Rejoice, Paul, always, really? Well, you know, in the sadness and tragedy of what is taking place in the Middle East, I confess that rejoicing for me is a challenge today. All my life I have prayed for peace, world peace, national peace, personal peace, but it doesn't appear, at least at this juncture, that the lion is going to lie down with the lamb anytime soon. And if that did happen, as they say, the lamb probably wouldn't get much sleep. But this is a lesson that speaks of joy and peace. And I found myself thinking, maybe you did when you heard these words, I found myself thinking about times of joy that I've experienced, and thank God there have been many. I think of my marriage, the birth of my sons. I think of officiating at the weddings of my nieces, three of them, and a nephew. I think of graduations and the joy I've known in seeing the accomplishment of others. I think of the marriage of our eldest son and the birth and dedication of our precious grandchildren. So many joys to be found in my ministry up in New York State and in Silver Spring and now here. I could go on and on, but you know what I mean. You can relate, I think. Sheer moments of joy, and there have been so many. Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi, and this letter speaks about joy. That word is used 14 times in just 4 chapters. You can fact check me later. But it does seem to me that Paul is almost commanding us to be joyful. As far as I know, feelings cannot be commanded. So what is Paul talking about? Why is he telling this congregation in Philippi to rejoice? How dare Paul insist that they not worry, that they ought not carry any anxiety about anything? Was Paul for real? Didn't he know the kind of troubled world that we live in? Well, he did. He knew better than, as well as any of us, what kind of troubled world this is. As I say, he wrote from prison. He may be released. He may die. He doesn't know. His life is in the balance. This beloved church in Philippi was dealing with conflict. Iodia and Syntyche, they're squabbling about something. And the church is embroiled in this conflict. And this is a beloved church to Paul. And he hated to see that kind of conflict. So this was a difficult time for him. He wanted to help them, but he was in prison, far away. What could he do to help? His other church plants in Thessalonica and Corinth and Ephesus seemed to be faltering. Adversaries called him a liar. His closest companion deserted him. He was flat broke. And yet he was able to declare, rejoice always. So to me, his words carry a lot of freight. Still, the experience of peace amid the anxieties of our day isn't really easily found. Pain and sorrow and heartache and tragedy, well, they can feel overwhelming. And now, on top of everything else, we have all of this hostility in the Middle East that could conceivably engulf the world. Think about that. These may be among the most dangerous times we have lived through in decades. But Paul, from a jail cell, was able, in the middle of his circumstances, to write a letter of hope. He writes of peace. Not of ending all hostilities or removing every hindrance from our lives. I think he's speaking more of a peace located within the turmoil and the chaos of life. So often you and I confuse joy and happiness, or happiness with joy and peace. Happiness can't be purchased. Have you ever seen a child after they buy a Happy Meal? They're happy for about 30 seconds. I just heard the other day about this brawl in Disney World, the happiest place on earth, and parents are going at it. No, Paul is speaking about a joy and a peace that we find inside that comes from a deep connection with the Lord. As I said, Paul doesn't know if he's going to be released or if he's going to die. So to me, it is so interesting to hear that among his last words are these, "Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near." To me, it's almost as if Paul is looking at his whole life, how he persecuted the church. He's thinking maybe about all the travels he's undertaken, all the churches he's planted, all the letters he's written. And maybe all of that experience taught him the necessity or the importance of the value of gentleness. What strikes me is that Paul says, let your gentleness be known to all, not just to the church in Philippi, but to all. To everyone they meet, to everyone they engage with, the Greek word that Paul uses encourages us to engage constructively and productively and respectively in a way even where one party may have to step back and listen and ponder and reflect and allow the other party to express their view. Wouldn't that be unique? Wouldn't it be refreshing, in fact, if in discussing we said, or they said, this is what I believe, but by golly, I could be wrong. It's possible. See, today we're better suited to responding in reactive ways, angry ways, condemning ways, judgmental ways. We want to be seen as strong and tough and assertive. But harshness and tearing others down and name-calling is not a sign of strength. It's a sign of weakness. Gentleness is strength that is harnessed and channeled and controlled to produce a positive result. The gentleness that Paul's talking about has nothing to do with weakness. Here, Paul say, only the strong can be gentle. When I'm weak, then I am strong. For the power of Christ is made perfect in our weakness. The Lord is near. A lot of other people have come to that same conclusion. I think about Martin Luther King, who used nonviolent resistance to change a nation. I think of Mahatma Gandhi and the reforms he brought to India. I think of Nelson Mandela, peacemakers all. And it's conjecture, but again, I can't help but wonder if Paul hasn't thought about his life and all of his experiences and just taken this lesson to heart. This is what I want to leave with you. This is my legacy to you. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near. Then he goes on to write, have no anxiety about anything, but everything, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is more than just what we do in here. Prayer is more than just a perfunctory few words at dinner time. It's about a life lifted to God. It's a resource. But unfortunately, it's a resource that we too little utilize. I remember the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And even with prayer and supplication, difficult times and places will come. But prayer can contribute to a life less filled with worry and anxiety and fear. Verse 7 says, pray and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your own minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Paul's final words in this text that I want to lift up are words of encouragement to the Philippians. And they're words of encouragement to us to keep on doing what we're doing in living together as a community. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Do it. And the God of peace will be with you. I remember a story of two pastors driving down the street. One was a longtime advocate of peace, and they were deeply engaged in conversation when the one who was the advocate of peace suddenly shouted out, slow down, there's a school zone. And then he went on to say, I work on big issues every day, and I always will. But he said, I'm paying more attention these days to little things like casual meetings and driving in traffic, because I've come to realize that the peace I get there is the only peace I'm going to get in this world. Well, that's a bit cynical, but our world is so far removed from peace on earth. And if it happens, it may be that it happens because of people like you and me and millions of others who do the little things, doing what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable over and over and over again. A long time ago, I was a huge fan of a singer by the name of John Duchendorf. You may be a little more familiar with the stage name, John Denver. Well, there was a poem that he would read at his concerts, and I attended as many of his concerts as I could. And it's a poem that I've always remembered, and it's come to be known as the Peace Poem. And I want to share it with you. There's a name for war and killing. There's a name for giving in. When you know another answer, for me the name is sin. But there's still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give another name to living. We could call it peace. And peace would be the road we walk each step along the way. And peace would be the way we work. And peace, the way we play. And in all we see that's different, and in all the things we know, peace would be the way we look. And peace, the way we grow. There's a name for separation. There's a name for first and last, when it's all of us or nothing. For me, the name is past. But there's still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give a name to all the future, and we could call it peace. And if peace is what we pray for, and peace is what we give, and peace will be the way we are, and peace the way we live. Yes, there's still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give a name to all the future, and we could call it peace. What efforts do you think you and I make to think on those things that are true and noble and right and lovely and commendable? What ways at home, at work, in the community or the school or the neighborhood, can we make those places more peaceful by employing these values that Paul names? What can we do to turn our Christian values into specific actions? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Think about these things. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn. May the peace and grace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you in the storm. And one day may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.